Today on the LA Food Podcast, I'm your host Lucas Servodio, greeting you on what I consider to be the biggest week of the American social calendar. That's right, dear listener, it's my birthday, and there's nowhere I'd rather be than chopping it up about food and restaurants with all of you. Of course, the buzz in the atmosphere this week isn't due to my birthday. It isn't even due to the end of the godforsaken atmospheric river. No, it's due to the fact that the Super Bowl is upon us. This Sunday, hundreds of thousands of people will descend in Las Vegas to watch the Kansas City Chiefs square off against the San Francisco 49ers. But even more exciting than what's happening on the gridiron is the romantic subplot happening off the field. I'm talking, of course, about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, the unlikely Charles and Diana of modern-day America. Travis will be competing, and Taylor, of course, will be making a mad dash from Japan, where she has a show, to be in attendance, supporting her beau and fending off the network's attempts to have a live Taylor cam in the corner of the screen throughout the entirety of the game. To honor this love story, and because this is a food podcast after all, I'm joined by my friend Daniel Wargo, who you might know on TikTok and Instagram as Forking Around. We're going to devise the ideal Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce inspired Super Bowl spreads. We're going category by category and challenging ourselves to devise two different spreads sourced from Los Angeles area restaurants that perfectly capture the essence of Taylor and Travis respectively. Forks is going to do the Travis spread, I'm doing the Taylor spread, and you're going to get hungry thinking about these absolutely insane imaginary Super Bowl parties that none of us would ever be invited to in a million years. But first, a couple of things that caught my eye in the food world this week, from service fee trouble at Found Oyster to a Jen Harris demolition of Al Antico Vinaio, there's never a dull week in Los Angeles food. That's all coming up next, and finally, it is my birthday, dear listener, as I mentioned, so if you're listening to this and want to give your humble host the ideal birthday present, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a nice rating. It would absolutely make my day. Without further ado, let's play ball. I mean, chow down. Dear listener, it is Super Bowl week. That's right. It's one of America's unofficial holiday weeks. I am excited about it. I'm not excited about the game itself, I'm not going to lie, but I am excited about all of the food that comes along with it, and we'll talk a little bit with Daniel Wargo Forking Around about that in just a minute. But before we get there, I wanted to talk to you about a couple of things that have caught my eye in recent weeks, things that relate to the food world in Los Angeles and beyond. First things first, we've had another chapter in the service fee saga, as I'm calling it. A former Found Oyster server filed a class action lawsuit against Last Word Hospitality, who you might know from their great restaurants such as Found Oyster, Queen Street, Bar Santos, and more. So basically, this server is alleging that the company Last Word Hospitality was withholding the tips that they were collecting in the form of service fees and basically using them for other things like paying managers or doing other things with those service fees within the business that were not going to the employees, as was the stated intention of those service fees. This is the latest in a number of service fees conversation we've been having. I think we had a conversation like this about John and Vinny restaurants. There were, you know, restaurants in Hollywood like Mother Wolf and restaurants like that were accused of doing similar things. The suit, this particular suit, hinges on 4 points. And I got to say, a shout out to Matthew Kang at Eater for some excellent reporting on this. The 4 points in this lawsuit, and it seems to me that these 4 points could be applied to pretty much any lawsuit on service fees. It's basically, number one, whether the funds were collected from the restaurant service fees were actually gratuities, whether you could count those as gratuities. Secondly, whether the company failed to distribute those total proceeds to the workers. Third, if Last Word retained a portion of those fees. And fourth, whether the company retained a portion to pay managers using those fees, aka non-service employees. This is a huge issue in restaurants, clearly. Like, we're hearing stories about this all the time. Service fees, service fees, service fees. We've even seen that like spreadsheet pop up where diners want to know, hey, which restaurants are charging service fees? How are those service fees being used? In order to sort of like, yes, know what is going to be in your bill when you go out to dine, but also I think a little bit to hold restaurants to account. It seems to me that there is another problem, and it is an internal communications problem. Last Word issued a statement in Eater's article denying a lot of these allegations. And, you know, let's let it all play out in the courts. Let's see what happens. I'm not going to say Last Word did this or Last Word didn't do that. But what I can say is this. Let's assume that Last Word is doing everything by the book, yet the employee genuinely feels like their service fees were being withheld. Perhaps there is a need within the restaurant for greater transparency in terms of management letting their employees better understand, hey, this is the process, this is how things work, this is where these fees go, and this is how you can expect to receive them. I don't know that we as diners need to know that. I don't know that every time I go out to a restaurant, I need on my bill to see, like, in depth a breakdown of where all those service fees are going. Would it be nice? Sure, but am I going to read it? Not really. So, you know, I don't think the restaurants should have to go through that trouble. However, I think they should do a better job of communicating internally, responding to their employee complaints, and basically working and mediating it out that way, as opposed to letting it get to this stage where they end up in the press and diners like me now look at Found Oyster and think for a second, wait a second, do I feel good about going to eat there when I know that they've been allegedly withholding service fees from their employees? No, this is an internal communications issue. Like, get to the root of it, solve it with your employee, communicate about it at front, at the outset, and be transparent. So this is actually a business idea for my PR friends, my food PR friends who are listening to this right now. Why not go to all of these hospitality groups and say, hey, there's a real risk here, guys. There's a real risk that you will be perceived as withholding service fees, and we know that you're doing your best. So why don't you ensure that you have a robust internal communications program, and we'll help you with it. So PR friends in the industry, you're welcome. That's a free new business idea. Did I just solve service fees, guys? I think I may have just solved this issue. No, not really. I'm sure there's bad actors out there, and I'm sure that there's people that are legitimately withholding. But if there really is a case of misunderstanding, a case of just things not being communicated, maybe this is one possible solution. Moving on to something a little bit more lighthearted, okay? Something a little bit lighter, something a little bit more fun, kind of. Well, it is Jen Harris. She put out a bona fide hit piece on Al Antico Vinayo in the Los Angeles Times this week. It was an article that was titled 31 LA Sandwiches That Are Better Than the quote-unquote best sandwich in the world. Now, this caught my eye immediately because, you know, Jen Harris is a great reporter. She does what she does extremely well. And one thing she doesn't tend to do is throw a lot of restaurants under the bus. You know, I think she's very much of sort of the Jonathan Gold ilk, in which you kind of like talk about what you like, but you don't necessarily throw shade at restaurants, right? You're not necessarily like going to a place just so you can shit on it, right? And to be fair, Jen doesn't actually even name the restaurant in this piece. She's talking about a restaurant on Abbot Kinney. She names its location. She describes it in detail to the point where anybody who's not living under a rock knows which restaurant she's talking about. But she stops just shy of actually naming the restaurant. She's basically, you know, makes a compelling case as to why she's not that into the sandwich. And she lists which sandwiches she would rather eat. Let's leave aside that the list itself is kind of a cop-out, right? It's not actually a list. The list consists of 18 sandwiches that she included on her best Italian sandwiches list that was published last year. So that's 18 of the 31. The next 12, she said, I would rather eat any of the 12 sandwiches on the menu at Lorenzo Beverly Hills. So now that's 30 sandwiches. And then she goes into detail on one new sandwich, which is the Sasto, which is Safi's new Italian sandwich over near Found Oyster, actually. So I have a few thoughts on this. Number one, I got to say, Jen Harris, I love it, right? I love the passion. I love the pointedness. I love that you have a point of view here. But I do have to wonder, why don't you just name the restaurant at this point? You know, in the first line, you say, I don't believe in quote unquote throwing shade that eclipses the sun. Jen, the shade has been thrown. You'd have it named the restaurant, but you might as well have. And I just don't understand, why not name the restaurant? And I think this comes back to something that we've talked about on this podcast before, and that is, what is the role of food journalism? Well, you know, back when food journalism started, there was a role that had to do with ensuring that people who are reading the newspaper, who have a choice to make in terms of where they are going to dine, they only have a limited amount of money. And it was almost like the newspaper's duty to make sure that they are spending the money wisely, right? That they can sort of like know when they're going out, they're going to be getting something of quality. They're going to be getting something that they feel good, that they paid for with their hard-earned dollars. I think that's kind of what Jen was trying to do here, right? I think she was basically saying to people who are reading the Los Angeles Times, look, don't feel like you have to follow this TikTok trend of going to Al Antico Vinaio, this new fangled fancy sandwich shop that is a transplant of Italy that opened up on Abbot Kinney that you're seeing on TikTok everywhere. Like, the lines are super long, the sandwiches are super expensive, and you know what? There are other places where you can maybe even do better. And I think that that is a valiant thesis, Jen Harris, a very valiant thesis. But, you know, you're doing your job if you name the restaurant. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think journalists have to be afraid of naming the restaurant. Maybe this was like a little tongue-in-cheek way of doing it. Maybe I'm being harsh, but I do think in general, I think that there is a reticence from a lot of journalists to name restaurants that they don't like, but I think the people deserve to know that. Should influencers be doing that? I don't know. I feel a little differently when influencers do it, because influencers, you know, I'm not sure that they have the same social contract with their viewers that the LA Times has with their readers. So that's a separate conversation. But for this one, I'd say great piece. We'll put it in the show notes, but just name the damn restaurant. I named it for you, dear listener, Al Antico Vinaio. So you're welcome. Okay, moving on. I just wanted to quickly congratulate all of the street vendors in Los Angeles, because there was a huge victory this week. The city council voted to do away with the no vending zones, which we have discussed at length on this podcast. In case you missed those episodes or street vending is not really your thing, and that's okay, I'll just quickly say this, right? There were certain zones in the city that the city council had said street vendors cannot sell at. And that was the Hollywood Bowl. That was the Hollywood Walk of Fame. It was Staples Center. It was basically all of these really busy places. And the city council, without giving much of a reason, had said street vendors, you can't sell there. These are quote unquote no vending zones. Well, a lot of street vendors had been selling in those places for decades and decades and decades and had loyal customers. It's really how they earn their living. So There was a lawsuit from these street vendors against the city, basically saying, hey, you didn't really give a good legal reason why you have these no vending zones. You cited quote unquote public safety, but you never backed it up with any studies or anything. So instead of going through with the lawsuit, the city council decided to basically just lift those no vending zones. And now street vendors can do it. It's a huge victory. They also did something where they lowered the permitting cost of legal street vending from hundreds of dollars to $30, which removes a huge barrier to entry to people who come to this country or are in this country and want to sort of get a leg up and get their sort of entrepreneurship wheels in motion via street vending. Now they can do so with a permit of only $30 as opposed to hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It's a huge win. There's another frontier in the battle, and that's why the street vendors are still moving forward with their lawsuit. The lawsuit now isn't so much about the no vending zones, but it will be to basically ensure that any fines that were accrued by street vendors while the no vending zones were intact, those fines can be forgiven. And I think that makes sense. Why should street vendors have to pay fines for something that is no longer illegal? So we'll keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll have our friends from Inclusive Action at the city, or Jeanette Villafana at LA Taco, who has been covering this issue very diligently for a very long time, back on the pod to discuss. But for now, street vendors, huge victory, huge congrats. I can't wait to go support my local taqueros and my local frutteros. Okay. Finally, before we move on to Daniel and we get to the fun part of the episode, I wanted to quickly plug that on the LA Countdown, we have a new series that I'm really excited about. It's called The Unlistables. The Unlistables, okay? This is a series where basically I am going to go once a week, maybe more, depending on how the series does, to restaurants and eateries and stands that are not anywhere in food media, aka they've not been covered by the likes of The Infatuation, by Eater, by the Los Angeles Times, by LAist, not even by LA Taco, okay? We're going to go and find these restaurants and basically ask ourselves, hey, why hasn't this been on a list and is it listable? We're gonna aim to find the hidden gems. I had an idea a while ago that was inspired by the Dave Chang podcast, actually. They were talking about how food journalists should not just go to like the main hot restaurants in Los Angeles, but should maybe go to the restaurant next door. And I think they even tried to start something where they were going to go to the restaurant next door to the like hot restaurants in LA and see what's up. I thought that was like an interesting idea, although I don't think it actually works logistically in Los Angeles because of how big Los Angeles is. Like, for example, you know, if you want to go to like the restaurant next door to Bub and Grandma's, well, good luck. There's not a restaurant next door to Bub and Grandma's. There's not a restaurant for blocks near Bub and Grandma's, right? So I'm just not sure it actually works as a concept. It's cute, but it doesn't work. I think if you just look at all of the lists that exist out there from all of our food media friends in Los Angeles and you find the blind spots and go check those out, that's a really interesting concept to me. And it doesn't have to be just the new spots that they haven't gotten to yet. I'm thinking, what about the old school spots that aren't on any of these lists, right? Surely there are some like really, really great old school restaurants in Los Angeles too that have been doing their work, doing their business for decades with loyal customers and are serving up some excellent food. So we're going out, we're finding them, we're posting them on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. So be sure to go follow the LA Countdown if you're not following us already. Finally, before we move to Daniel, I just wanted to say a quick rest in peace to three more Los Angeles restaurants that announced they're closing this week. The Mansky's lost two more restaurants. They announced that they're closing Michelin-starred Mansky and Bicyclette, the French bistro over on Pico near West LA. This now means that the Mansky's only restaurant is République because they also closed Sorry Sorry Store earlier this year and they closed Petty Cash last year. I mean, honestly, going down from five restaurants to one in a matter of like months is pretty crazy, but it is a real sign of the economic times that face our restaurants right now. Also closing is the excellent Bon Mi store in Hollywood, Bon Mi, which I included on my sandwich countdown and I really, really liked. I'm gutted to see it close. As I said, it's a heavy time for Los Angeles restaurants, a really hard time for them and making their margins. So I think, you know, as consumers, let's just keep doing what we can to be out there supporting our restaurant friends, you know, maybe not complaining about the higher prices, understanding that they need to do this in order to make their margins. And maybe we're just more selective with where we go and how we spend our money. But, you know, whenever we can, trying to put some money back into the community because these people work hard. It's what makes our restaurant scene so great. And honestly, Los Angeles is nothing without them. So sorry to end on that dour note, but I promise we are absolutely going to turn things around with my good friend Daniel Wargo coming up next. Welcoming back to the LA Food Pod, a man who is somehow becoming the unofficial LA Food Podcast sport correspondent. It's a man you might know as forking around on social media, but I call him Daniel Wargo. Daniel, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Luca?
I'm doing good, man. I really can't complain. Are you staying dry?
You know, I'm doing my best. I got to take the dog out a couple times a day, and that's been a chore.
How does Sherman do in the rain?
The first day he was not into it. And, you know, now he's like, you know what? I guess this is life. So we're just going out.
He's like, this is life in the atmospheric river. That is my life now.
Exactly.
You done any good eating in this weather?
You know, today I got a salad for the LA salad competition from a place in Westwood area called Feast from the East.
That place is supposed to be really good.
It was awesome. I really liked it. The dressing is it's phenomenal.
Was it like kind of like a play on the California Chicken Cafe Chinese chicken salad type thing?
Yeah, it was pretty much that. It was, I haven't done that one for the competition yet. So I've only had it a couple of years ago, so I'm not really sure if it's better or worse, but it was very good. It's probably like my fourth Chinese chicken salad for this competition. I'm like, I guess LA loves these things.
I think it may have been invented here by Wolfgang Puck, actually, at a restaurant called Chinoise on Main in Venice. I think. I might be wrong about that, though.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look that up, though, because that sounds interesting.
Yeah, don't fact check. I mean, do fact check me on that. Don't quote me on that is what I meant. I got to ask, what does the winner of the LA salad competition win?
Definitely bragging rights and maybe a trophy, but we'll have to... We're looking into that. It's got to look just like a salad.
Yeah, or just like one single leaf of radicchio
dropped on their doorstep.
Yeah, or you can like knight them with it, you know, just like adorn their head with it. Well, enough of that. Look, it's a big week for you and for most Americans because there's a big football event. Is that right?
There is. It's the week. Super Bowl week.
Look, you're a big football guy, and I know that when it comes to watching the Super Bowl and taking it in, people have all kinds of like sort of, you know, idiosyncrasies or traditions or superstitions. Do you have anything that you typically do when you're watching the Super Bowl?
I just bet a lot. I bet on everything. I'm a big I will bet on the length of the national anthem, on the coin toss, on yardage, winners, losers, and everything in between, honestly.
Now, are we talking like so much betting that this could make or break your whole financial year?
No, it is not that much. I will say that I bet often, but the amounts are very, very low. I put in a couple hundred at the beginning of the season. I've got about $80 left. So it's all going in on Sunday. Make or break it.
Are you, you got any fun tips for our gambling listeners?
You know, if you live in California, it is not legal, but there are ways you can do it if you want.
He's winking for those who are not watching on our new YouTube channel.
I totally forgot. This is a podcast.
Yeah. You bring up an excellent point. We do have a YouTube channel now, so some people are going to see the wink.
I did it on purpose then.
Thank you. It was a promotional wink. Exactly. Okay, so not technically legal, but let's say, do you have a bet on like what color Gatorade is going to be thrown on the coach at the end of the game?
You know what? That's a great bet. I should bet on that. I haven't yet, though. I think I'm going to go with blue.
Okay. Well, what do you usually do to watch Super Bowl other than gambling? Do you watch with your family? Do you go out? Do you stay in?
I go to my parents' house, watch it with them. Usually my aunt and uncle come up and just... It's really low-key.
A low-key family holiday.
Pretty much, yeah. My mom usually cooks either gets too much food or cooks too much food or something, and then there's plenty of beer to go around. I'm really usually, like, my dad has one, and then the rest of the beer is for me, I guess, because I'm the only person there, like, under 40. So,
yeah. And is there any sort of, like, food that needs to make an appearance, or does your mom switch it up every year?
To me, days like the Super Bowl are my excuse to have the onion dip, you know, like within the packet.
Oh yeah,
I will go to so that's like my I that needs to be there because I'm not eating that any other day of the year, really. But the rest of it kind of depends. Sometimes there's wings. I'm not a big wings guy, but it feels like a football thing, so they're there, you know.
Literally, my wife just started eating meat again, and her one request this year for the Super Bowl was that we have wings there. So she's the opposite of you.
Wow. Okay. Do you know where you're getting them from?
Yeah, you know, I put up a poll on Instagram, or actually a question, I should say.
I remember that.
Yeah, a lot of people got back to me saying like what the best wings are. And it turns out Ye Rustic Inn in Silver Lake is a dive bar that has excellent wings from what I'm told. However, I'm a little bougier than that. So I don't think, you know, I'll save that for one night when you and I are out on the town and have had too many beers.
That sounds great.
For my wife who hasn't had meat in a while, we're going to her parents' house and they're a little bougier too. Another name that kept coming up was Gorilla Pies in the Valley. So
that's the one I put in there.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I forgot that you had put that in there as well, but thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome.
It came up a lot. And so we're going to put a pre-order in at Gorilla Pies. We're going to get 24 of their finest wings in each flavor. I believe they have lemon pepper, they have buffalo, they have something called spicy dry, which is a name I used to dance under as well. And then yeah, and then there's also the classic agave honey or something like that.
Chili, agave chili or something like that.
There you go. Do you have a favorite at Gorilla Pies?
That one is by far my favorite.
Really?
Oh my God, those are exceptional. Just, yeah, the crunch, the flavor, everything. And you got to get the ranch. It's the best ranch in the game, I think. He was very specific that that wing could not go in the ranch.
Yeah.
So that one is not for the ranch. But for the other wings, definitely with the ranch.
What if I try it? What if I try dipping it in the ranch?
The look on his face when he told me that, he was like, you can do whatever you want, but I just saw the pain that it would have caused if I had done that. So yeah, I saved him for the buffalo wings.
He's like a legit chef too. He's like former fine dining and everything. And he just wanted Nobu, exactly. And he just wanted to like pay homage to his Pittsburgh roots, opening up this pizza spot. So if he says don't do the ranch, he probably means don't do the ranch.
Yes, and I trust him with my life now after I've tasted his food.
Yeah, very, very good stuff. Well, that's our plan. That's our plan. Now, we have to talk about the elephant in the room, Daniel, which is that this year, the Super Bowl is not really about what's happening on the field, strictly. There's going to be a very special guest in attendance by the name of Taylor Ann Swift. I don't know that that's her middle name. I just made it up.
I believed it.
Yeah, could be.
You never know.
What do you think about this whole Travis and Taylor narrative storyline that hangs over the Super Bowl?
It has been honestly an emotional roller coaster for me and for a lot of people, because at the beginning I was a little bit annoyed because I'm like, well, they all have wives, they all have girlfriends, like why do we care, right? And then I thought it was fake for a long time. I thought they were being paid to date. Honestly, just seemed a little convenient. He says it over the summer. All of a sudden, she's really into him. Like, you know, and nothing against Travis Kelce. Love him to death. Great football player. But, like, she can do better. You know, so.
Okay, so look, I'm coming into this as someone who knows the name Travis Kelce, knows he's a very good tight end, knows that he's also got a decent tight end from what I know, hint, hint. That he's charismatic. He was on SNL, which you don't often get for athletes. You certainly don't get that for athletes who aren't quarterbacks typically. But why are you not particularly impressed with Mr. Kelce?
I just think it's nothing against him. I mean, he's great. He's great at what he does. He's super likable. He's very charming. You know, I just see her as this like very poised, sophisticated New York woman who is, you know, taking over the world and rebuilding economies. And I just am like, what do they have to talk about? Like, how do they, you know, like, what are they going to talk about? And maybe that's not what they're doing. Good for them. But I don't know. I don't know either of them. So
you are right that at some point you need to talk in a relationship. So that could pose some issues. The question is, who would you go for if you were Taylor Swift?
Oh, God, I don't know. Maybe there's no man that's good enough for her. I have no idea. I'm not sure. But maybe like some kind of like painter. I don't know. She's dated a lot of great candidates along the way. And, I'm just going to say this. I'm happy they're happy. That's all that matters. I just want people to be happy. I don't care. I don't know either of them. And I probably never will, to be honest. So,
hey, we don't allow that kind of dream crushing talk on the LA Food Podcast. Okay.
Maybe I will. Maybe we'll be good friends someday. I don't know. Right now.
You and I are going to be grabbing martinis with them in some, you know, New York bar someday. Don't you worry about it, my friend.
I cannot wait.
Look, we're going to make the best of this Travis and Taylor situation, okay? Because today we've got a very special activity on the LA Food Podcast. What we're going to do, we are going to devise the best Travis Kelce-inspired spread and the best Taylor Swift-inspired spread and basically see which ones the listeners prefer. You're going to be in charge of the Travis Kelce spread because you are the football guy. And I'm going to be in charge of the Taylor Swift spread because, I don't know, I'm kind of a Swiftie, you know? And also because I'm not the football guy, so ergo sum, I get the Taylor Swift spread. So sure. any questions about this assignment before we embark?
No, I think the rules are pretty clear. We have two very different type of people, as we've already talked about. And I'm sure they have different palettes as well.
Okay, fair enough. So we're going to go category by category, starting with the most important category, arguably, and that mm-hmm. is booze. Let's start with you, Daniel. At your Travis Kelce-inspired Super Bowl party, where the spread is Travis Kelce-inspired, what mm-hmm. booze are you serving?
Okay, I thought about this really hard. I wanted to get into Travis Kelce's head. You know, I wanted to get into his life. And so at first I was like, he's pretty simple. I bet he just likes beer. You know, but then I just started doing some research, found out that Travis Kelce made a little investment in a cocktail company. So
okay,
they are canned drinks, Casa Azul tequila canned soda, canned tequila sodas.
Wow. Okay. First of all, I must applaud you for doing your research, which is something I'm not accustomed to when I invite Father Sal on the pod. So just a really refreshing change of pace. So thank you for that.
Probably on the bus here.
Oh yeah, bus tracks all over his back. Now, I actually really like that shout. Also, I feel like if you're going to be drinking throughout the course of a game, like a nice little tequila soda to kind of keep you a little bit buzzed, but not too drunk all the way. I kind of like that. How do you feel about canned cocktails in general?
You know, I'm fine with them either way. Like they don't really, I've never had one that was bad, and I've never had that one that like made me go, I have to drink that every day of my life, thankfully. but yeah, they're fine. I feel like this is a good one because you still get to hold it like it's a beer, but you're kind of getting, because if it's tequila soda, it's soda water. You're getting dehydrated and hydrated consecutively. So you actually, it's a wash at the end of it.
Yeah, 100%. Also, I feel like if you are an athlete like Travis Kelce, you also kind of mm-hmm. want to be like a little bit mindful of your figure. And so, you know, I feel like tequila sodas are one of those things where I'm not sure how good they are for you, but certainly people drink them when they're on diet. So I got to say, this is a great shout, Daniel. Great, great job.
Thank you. Thank you. So what is Taylor bringing?
Taylor's booze. Are you ready for this? I don't think this is going to be altogether surprising, but so first of all, let me just say I had a lot of help with this via my wife. We sat down and we basically just like conducted an extensive hour of research and she really helped because she is the true Swiftie in our household. Apparently, Taylor Swift has a song called Champagne Problems. So we're going to give everybody at the party champagne problems and we're going to serve bubbly for booze. We're going to get it at Sunset Tower on Sunset Boulevard. And that's just because that feels like the kind of spot you would run into Taylor Swift. It's a very like celebrity hotspot. So we are going to do something that only the 1% would do. And we're going to Postmates champagne from Sunset Tower.
I love that. I love that you included where from. That's what I should have done that probably. But I'm going to go with Gil Turner's
Nice. I don't know. Travis Kelce seems more like a Ralph's guy.
Yes, he does. He doesn't get it on Sunset. But I was just thinking his house is probably pretty close to Gil Turner's if he's here because he's in the hills, obviously.
Yeah, I still feel like he would make the trek to like – he would still make the trek to like, you know, like
for
Meadow Barn or something. Just to feel something. Okay, great. We did booze. Now we're moving on to appetizers. Now – appetizers, including dips. I think I assigned you three appetizers, but let's go with one to begin with. What's your first appetizer?
Okay, first one. This is a very Travis Kelce inspired appetizer where it's simple, it's easy, it's American, and it's pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
And we're going to go classic. We're going to get them from Pink's Hot Dogs on La Brea.
I didn't even know they had pigs in a blanket.
I did some research to find out where I could get pigs in a blanket, and they were the number one spot. So,
I like that. Is Travis Kelce from Los Angeles? He's not, right?
He is from Ohio originally.
Okay, yeah. Which honestly, I feel like half the people in the line at Pink's Hot Dogs are probably from Ohio. So that is also a good reason to pick picks.
Exactly. Exactly. It's not fancy. It's just, you know,
it's just
going to get you there. Exactly.
Yeah, it's just. Okay. Well, I like that. My first appetizer. Are you ready for this? We're going to a little restaurant called Wakano. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. I've been to Wakano.
Okay, so can you let the people who only go to Michelin star restaurants listening to this podcast know what Wakano is, Daniel?
It's kind of like a chain sushi spot almost, or Japanese. They do have sushi. That's all I've ever gotten there. It's not like nice, but it's usually in like nice areas or nice shopping malls.
Yeah, it's like Asian fusion. It's kind of like P.F. Chang's, but yeah, they do also serve sushi.
Yes.
And famously, Taylor Swift has dined there, and she's even on the record as saying this. She said, "The great thing about Wakano is that it's open really late, and the food is exactly what you want when you order Chinese food. There are also sushi options and lots of different variations on Asian cuisine, but I just die for the orange crispy chicken and vegetable fried rice." So we're going with the orange crispy chicken as one of our appetizers for the Taylor Swift spread. And that's called research, my friend.
I love that. I for a second, I thought you were going to play her actual voice. I was gonna be really impressed, but this was good too.
I might edit that in, honestly. Who knows? all right. What are you going for your second appetizer?
Okay. Second one. I wanted a dip. I was looking all over for kind of some kind of artichoke dip and then this buffalo. So what I did is I was like, you know what? No, we're going south of the border today. We're going Mexican. We're going bean dip. There is an amazing bean dip from Salsa and Beer in North Hollywood. I call it Salsa E Beer. I get yelled at for that. Whatever. It used to have an E. Like 10 years ago when I started going to it, it didn't have an ampersand. It had an E. But now it has an ampersand and I can't say E anymore, but it. Whatever. Okay. So I'm trying to go with the people here, but they have a bean dip that they give you instead of salsa.
Mm.
Oh yeah. Warm, spicy. And I just think Kelsey would, it would feel very eclectic to him to bring that. He would think he was very cultured.
He would be like, y'all thought I was going to bring salsa. I'm bringing bean dip. I like that. Keeping them on their toes. Okay. So you've got your two appetizers, my second appetizer. So there is a theory in Swifty circles. There's a song that Taylor Swift wrote called Invisible String. And in it, she references her some dude that she was into going to her favorite restaurant. And there's been there's like full Reddit boards about what that restaurant is. And scouring those Reddit boards, it seems like that restaurant may be Nobu. So I took that plus information that she is notoriously into sushi and decided that the second appetizer at the Taylor Swift spread is going to be the spicy tuna on crispy rice from Nobu. Boom.
Wow. Okay. You're Taylor. I knew that. I expected this though. Taylor has class and she's going to bring some Wakano and Nobu.
No, this is definitely like party. Two different sides of like the train tracks, super party, Super Bowl spreads. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is great. I mean, I saw you recently had some spicy tuna on crispy rice, though, one of the sushi restaurants.
One of my favorite dishes, but I've never been to Nobu at this point in time.
Yeah.
You know, got to build that wallet up.
Well, again, one day it'll be me, you, Travis, and Taylor out of Nobu. Okay, third appetizer. Let's hear it.
Okay, this one we're going to get from Ralph's because this is Travis Kelce's favorite food and – or he, I don't know if it's his favorite, but it's the one he eats the most in the year. And you might think they're gross, but they're Uncrustables. Those little like PB&J without the crust things.
I've never had one.
Me neither, but we're bringing them to the Super Bowl party because because Travis needs, he needs to eat 4,000 calories a day. Okay, so he has to have something with like protein and fat, some substance to it. So in order to really keep those gains.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that is quite the eclectic spread there. Now I'm going to have to go try some Uncrustables just to be able to say I've done it. But never done it. Okay. So remind me, your three are, you've got the bean dip, you've got the Uncrustables, and your third one was?
Pigs in a blanket.
Pigs in a blanket. Of course, that's a nice little spread there. Okay. Yeah. Taylor Swift, third and final appetizer. So as you might know, she had like a London phase. She lived in London. She had a song called "Oh My Little London Boy" or something like that. And she dated this London chap called Joe Alwyn for a long time. So I couldn't find any specific British things that she'd eaten or she was into. But I thought, why not just throw a little fish and chip appetizer into the mix? And actually, last one of the times you were on, you told me that you like to get your fish and chips from Ye Olde King's Head. So I just threw it in from Ye Olde King's Head as a little nod to you as well, sir.
Thank you. I love this Super
Bowl. Yeah. It really is. It really is. All of my appetizers are not even really appetizers, but you know what? Taylor Swift
could be
would
meals.
Do that.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. She would. Yeah.
You would
yeah,
do
she's
that.
Very generous like that. Exactly.
Okay, let's move on. So now we're getting on to the mains. We've got burgers slash sliders, which I feel like are pretty common Super Bowl food.
Yes.
In which direction did you take the Travis Kelce version?
The burgers. A burger for Travis Kelce is his post-game meal every time. And their coach on the Chiefs, Andy Reid, loves cheeseburgers. So when you get back to the plane, if it's an away game, there's cheeseburgers everywhere on the plane. So I'm kind of infusing myself into this one because I, in this perfect world, have talked with Travis Kelce and I have pointed him in a direction of a burger that I love, which is OKC Smashburger, my current favorite burger in the city of Los Angeles. Smashburgers, Wagyu. He's getting A5 Japanese Wagyu just because he can afford it. You know, and he's going to bring a lot of those. So
this feels like when he knows Taylor is going to stop by the party and he wants to elevate the game a little, he brings in the Wagyu burgers.
Exactly. If it's just Travis Kelce alone on a Saturday night, it's McDonald's. No shame. But this is the Super Bowl and Taylor's going to be there.
Let me ask, why is OKC Smashburger currently at the top of your rankings?
It's just kind of the... It's the what I want to say, the quality of the beef. A lot of these places, a lot of the burger spots just have the cheapest beef they can find, basically. And it's fine, and I love it still, but this one, you can taste that quality in the beef. The sauce is great. The bun's great. Everything just kind of works really well together, and the pickles, of course. It's just a beautiful burger, and I've had it like 5 times now, and I'm kind of obsessed.
Have our patron saints, How Kev Eats or Rick Locks, included it in their burger rankings?
They have not. They haven't even tried it. But well, I tried to get Rick to do a video with me to do it.
He was like, "Lox level? Fuck no."
Oh my god, I love it. Okay,
Rick, yeah. We're just kidding, man. We love you, man. Come on the podcast, seriously. We're big fans. We'd love to chop it up with you.
Yeah, definitely. I love Rick Lox.
Yeah, yeah. Well, okay. I love that. Good shout for a burger. I'm going to tell you what I got. So we're also going burgers at the Taylor Swift party. And apparently she was spotted eating at this burger chain with her good friend Lord. Are you familiar with Lord?
Yeah, not the Lord, just Lord, correct?
Lord, yes, Lord with an E, not the
yes.
Lord.
Cool, okay.
It's the "We Will Never Be Royals," that Lord, right?
Royals, yep.
Yep. So they went to Shake Shack together the first time they met. We're getting burgers from good old Shake Shack. You know, can't go wrong with that.
Can't go wrong. Yeah.
Danny Meyer, always good quality, you know? Okay. So we've got our burgers. Yeah. Everybody knows you also need pizza at a Super Bowl party.
Yeah.
Where
of
is
course.
Travis Kelce's pizza coming from?
Travis Kelce, I looked this up, has a pizza named after him in the great city of Kansas City. Called the Calceroni, which is obviously his name with pepperoni. So I was like, all right, pepperoni pizza. Where is the best pepperoni in the city? And you would probably have better ideas than me because you've eaten a lot more pizzas, but Prince Street Pizza, best pepperoni in the game on that thick dough, you know? So he's bringing a giant Prince Street pizza with those crispy, oily pepperonis, Calceronis.
I like that shout. I like that shout. I do really like the Prince Street Pizza pepperonis. I know exactly they're like filled with the grease cups. I know exactly what you're talking about. I also like this because Taylor Swift has some New York in her. You know, she's lived in New York for a long time. So again,
exactly.
I feel like if he's trying to give a nod to the lady, make her feel at home when she gets to the party, I appreciate exactly. giving her a little slice of home. So good job by you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You ready for Taylor's Pizza?
Oh, I'm so ready.
So there's two options here. So we might have to order from two places. Okay. So one is perfectly bougie and very in line with the rest of this spread. So Taylor was spotted at this restaurant the night before the Golden Globes having dinner with none other than Brittany Mahomes.
Oh, and, I saw this.
And it was at Spago in Beverly Hills. Spago, famous for their smoked salmon pizza with caviar, which if that doesn't scream opulence and Taylor Swift Super Bowl party, I don't know what does. That's going to be one of the pizzas, but also because she's from New York, because she dated a guy called Joe for a long time, we're also going to have a slice of Joe's at the party too. Sort of as like a, you know, a nod to her past, a nod to her present. So RIP Joe Alwyn, we're going to serve some Joe's New York pizza at the party as well.
Okay. I love it. I especially love that smoked salmon one. I got to put that in my mouth someday.
It's good, man. Amazing. It's a good pizza. You know, it's not one you go to for the dough necessarily. It's not even one you go to for the flavor combo, honestly. It's more you go for like the ambiance and like the kind of like history of the pizza. But honestly, I make a pretty damn good smoked salmon pizza myself in my uni oven. So you just come on over to the Cervodio residence, my man, and I got you.
I am waiting on that invite very anxiously. So let me know.
Keep waiting. It's right. It's coming right when Rick Locke says he'll do a video with you. Yeah, I know. You're getting roasted on this one, my friend. Okay, nachos. Now, I know this is a good one because nachos are a food that's near and dear to your heart. And I also know that they are a quintessential, you know, Super Bowl tailgate food. So where are Travis Kelce's nachos coming from?
So his nachos are coming from Plancha. Might call it La Plancha. I think it's just Plancha on West 3rd. There's also a location in Venice. They are ballpark style nachos. I think that's what Travis Kelce would like, would be a nacho cheese sauce. Mm-hmm. And this one is it's delicious. It's ground beef. It's got some sour cream and good salsa and stuff like that. But it is, I would say, it is more like someone from Ohio would definitely enjoy these nachos more than some of the other kinds in the city, which nothing against them. This is a Kelce party though, or a Kelce platter.
Yeah. I feel so like fun. If Travis Kelce detected any real cheese in his nachos, he'd be immediately out.
I agree. Yeah. I think we're on the same page there.
Good. Okay. Well then I think that's a great shout. And I know you love those nachos, so
Those are my favorite nachos in the city too.
Yeah, I gotta try them.
They're great.
I'm a big nacho guy, so I really gotta try them. But anyways, Taylor Swift nachos. Okay, so apparently she's a fan of Gracias Madre, which has multiple locations. But obviously, we have one in Melrose, in WeHo. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we're getting their vegan nachos. Add a little bit of vegan option to the party because she's a very inclusive gal. And those are soy chorizo, cauliflower, pico de gallo, black beans, cashew nacho cheese, guacamole, cashew crema, cilantro, Aleppo pepper. Those are the ingredients in the Gracias Madre nachos. Question for you. If Travis stops by the party, do you think he knows that they're vegan?
No clue. He has zero clue. I don't think – I love him to death, but I don't think that palate is super developed.
I think it just consumes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Nachos. We nailed it. We've only got a few more categories here, but we got some heavy hitters. Okay. Wings. You said it. You're not a big fan of wings, but I think you and I can both agree that wings are a must at most Super Bowl spreads. Now, where's Travis Kelce getting his wings from and why?
Okay. So I think Travis Kelce, it's a little weird, but I think so. Taylor is coming from Japan to get into time for the Super Bowl, right? Now, in Travis Kelce's mind, I'm not saying in my mind, in Travis Kelce's mind, that's the other side of the world, in the Asian continent. So he's going to get
So you're saying in your mind, it's not on the Asian continent?
No. It is also in my mind on the Asian continent. But he's going to be like, well, you were close to Korea, so I'm going to get Korean fried wings. That's where I'm going with this. And so we're going to get them from BHC Chicken on Fairfax, right near the farmer's market at the Grove.
Mm.
Very good Korean fried chicken. It's very good. Yeah, it's a good spot. And they're popular in Korea, from what I've told. I've never been there, but I'm told that. And this is their first U.S.-based restaurant. So I just think he wants to kind of like, show off a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Be like, hey, I'm cultured too.
I'm cultured too. Even though Japan and Korea are not, I'm saying I don't think they're the same place, and neither does he, but they're in the same part of the world. So he was like, Japan, Korea, I'm going to get Korean fried chicken.
Yeah, yeah, no, I could see the logic there. Do you know what BHC stands for?
Best something chicken?
Well, do you know what BTS stands for?
Behind the scenes?
I don't think it stands for that, but
you mean the boy band?
Yeah, the Korean boy band. Yeah, I'm starting to think they just have acronyms and they don't stand for anything.
I don't know. I have no idea what that would stand for. But BBQ chicken does stand for something, which is Korean as well. Best and brightest quality or something like that.
Wait, you're telling me that they used an actual like recognizable acronym and they changed it?
BB. Yes. Yeah, I thought it was barbecue chicken for a long time. I never even went because I was like, I don't even like barbecue chicken. And then someone was like, oh, no, that's a Korean fried chicken place. I'm like, oh, why are they calling it BBQ chicken? That it just seems like, but if that's what it's called out there, I don't know. I just, this is my first like seeing it. I was like, why would I go grab barbecue chicken? But it isn't. Yeah. It's like best and brightest quality or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost like if they told me that OKC Smashburgers actually stood for Orange Kink Canyon Smashburger. It has nothing to do with Oklahoma City.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but I like the shout. So we're going with your BHC wings because Travis Kelce is trying to be culturally sensitive. So I appreciate that. Our wings, so Taylor Swift obviously lives in New York now. She's lived in London, but for a long time, she lived in Tennessee, obviously, when she was a little bit more country. So to pay nods to her country roots and to her time in Tennessee, we're going to go with some good old Howlin' Ray's wings, that Nashville hot chicken, spice things up a little bit. I feel like we got a lot of bougie food at this spread, and I feel like we need to switch things up a little bit.
Totally. Yeah, totally agree. I love that. I didn't even know they had wings, to be honest. But I'm excited to try them at this party.
I didn't either, but I double checked on the menu and they do. So okay, we're moving on to the final savory element of the spread. And a lot of people would look at this and say this is the least interesting, least exciting one. I would not be inclined to say that necessarily. But it's salad. It's a green, right? Because every spread needs a green, a crudité or something. What did you select for the Travis Kelce salad / green?
So I'm going with the Jones on Third Chinese chicken salad because it's fried chicken, or it's kind of a chicken cutlet almost. And I just think Travis wouldn't be all about like, let's get something healthy. He'd be like, let's get those calories up today. And that is if you want a slightly unhealthy salad, actually it's pretty unhealthy salad, then that's the one you get in this place. And there's two locations, one in Studio City, one on West Third. So Jones on Third.
I feel like, that's the kind of salad. The dressing has like more sugar than most candy bars. So it would probably like really appeal to his like, sensory receptacles in his brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would like trick him into thinking he's having a Gatorade or something.
Yes, I think we're on that same page. You know what? Honestly, I'm kind of learning that me and Travis Kelce aren't that different because I love that. I'd probably bring that same exact salad.
Wait, are you saying that you may be the best option for Taylor Swift to date?
I'm going to think about my words here. Maybe.
Maybe is a good one. All right. My salad or green at the Taylor Swift spread. Okay, so she was once spotted when she had a brief fling with Tom Hiddleston, who I think is an actor. Mm-hmm. At a Hillstone restaurant in Santa Monica. which seems like a very Taylor Swift-esque place to go. I took a look at their various salads, and I think that the one that she probably would have ordered is the sashimi and cashew kale salad. Because as we discussed, she apparently really likes sushi. She really likes Nobu. So we're fitting in some raw fish in here too, and we're adding the sashimi and cashew kale salad from Hillstone to the Taylor Swift spread.
Never tried that one, but that sounds very good.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we've done the greens. We've done all of the savory food, which leaves us with arguably the most exciting course, and that is dessert. What is Travis Kelce and his friends and family noshing on for dessert at your Super Bowl party?
Good question. So I did see that that Taylor and Travis have been enjoying some cinnamon rolls as of late in the restaurant that they dine in Kansas City or something. So cinnamon rolls. So I was like, well, where do you get the best cinnamon rolls in LA? And you actually have to go down to Long Beach to Sweet Jill's Bakery. There's also an OC location, but yeah, Sweet Jill's for the cinnamon rolls.
I love that you know that. How do you even classify what makes like an outstanding cinnamon roll?
It's got to have enough icing. That's the main thing. And that's what a lot of people fail on. And then obviously the cinnamon sugary thing in the middle needs to be gooey and ooey. So both of those components are important for a cinnamon roll.
So what you're saying is you don't want no dry cinnamon roll.
No dry cinnamon rolls up in here.
Yeah, not at this spread. Okay, I like that. It's also like, you know, it's the kind of thing where if people don't finish them for dessert, you could have them for breakfast the next day too. So also kind of like a nice, like literal little sustainable touch to your Super Bowl spread. Well done. All right. My dessert, we're going back to where we started, which is a lyric from a Taylor Swift song. Mm-hmm. She's apparently in one of her more emotional songs, got a line about a yogurt store. Something about like, you were in line at the yogurt store, something like that, right? We are going to go with the best frozen yogurt in the entire city of Los Angeles, and that is the frozen yogurt from Go Greek, which has multiple locations, but I like the location in Beverly Hills the best. The location in Santa Monica can be kind of scary sometimes. Go Greek, fantastic. It's basically frozen Greek yogurt. The quality is always on point. The mix-ins are very like fancy schmancy, high quality as well. I feel like if Taylor Swift were to ever appear at a yogurt store, at a frozen yogurt store, this would be her jam. So we're getting everybody whatever the heck they want from Go Greek, and we're calling it a wrap at the Taylor Swift Super Bowl party with that.
I love this. I've never been to Go Greek. Gonna have to try it, clearly. Well, maybe I guess I'll be trying it on Sunday at the Super Bowl party.
You think you're getting invited to the Taylor Swift Super Bowl party?
Oh, I thought we were gonna go.
Oh no, that's,
I don't know why. No, we picked the menu.
We did, yeah, but we're just the curators. We don't actually get an invite.
Damn it. I was so excited. Okay.
Thank you, Daniel. We appreciate you joining us to share your very well-researched Travis Kelce spread. And listeners will be posting these menus on Instagram and putting them up for a vote. So look out for that. Now, Daniel, who you got to win the Super Bowl on Sunday? The million-dollar question.
I think the Chiefs are going to do it. I know the line is looking more like the 49ers. I just, and while they're a good team, obviously, I just don't see it. I think they might even be a better team than the Chiefs, maybe, but the Chiefs have Patty Mahomes and Travis Kelce, who are, I don't bet against them in moments like this. They're good on the big stage, and this is the biggest stage there is. So I think we're going to see another Chiefs victory, back-to-back champs.
You heard it here, dear listeners, and that's for all of you who, like me, do not follow this stuff very closely, but still want to be involved and feel like you know what you're talking about. So just, you know, listen to that part of the podcast on repeat and sound really smart at whatever Super Bowl party you're going to. Thank you, Daniel. And hey, before I let you go, bud, anything you want to plug?
Yeah, I'm always doing my content on Instagram and TikTok, but officially as of next week, I will be having more long form content on YouTube, forking around on YouTube. The one video per week is the goal. So yeah, if you want to be with me for a longer period of time, that's where you can find me.
Any sneak peeks of the type of content folks can expect to find on there?
Yeah, so this first video is going to be, I checked out Bear Flag in Huntington Beach, which people say is like the best poke around. And so I went there, and that's going to be the first one. Just kind of like a longer form food vlog for this first one. Just seeing how it goes. I don't know. We're going to test things.
We love it. Forking Around on YouTube. We'll put it in the show notes. Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the LA Food Podcast. Thanks to our guest, Daniel Wargo, for making the time to join us. And thank you to you, dear listener, as always. And if you like what you heard today, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a rating, a review, subscribe. Seriously, it helps us make our way up the charts on both Spotify and Apple. So I will be eternally grateful if you take the time to do so, especially on my birthday. What a great birthday gift. I know you've been thinking about what could I get Luca for his birthday. This is it, dear listener. This is it. We'll be back next week with another epic episode, but if you're looking for me in the meantime, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and even YouTube at the LA Countdown. That's THELACOUNTDOWN. You can also find me on Instagram at LA Food Pod. That's LAFOODPOD.